So how do you know that you are in a church? You say, John, look around, tall ceiling, stained glass windows, pews, don't have those at home. Yes, but that only speaks of the facility. How do you know that the people who have congregated here this morning constitute a fellowship forged by a common faith? How do we know we are a church? And how is a church different? How is a church distinct from anything else? How do you know you're in a church and not a business or a club or a legislative body or a store or a classroom? Those kinds of questions, how do we know we're a church? They get to the heart of today's scripture verse worth remembering. And the answer to those questions is what makes this scripture passage one worth memorizing. Now, you've probably heard Galatians 5, 22 through 23 sometime or another, because it contains a list of nice qualities. The list is pretty straightforward. Contains 9 items. 9. Most people can't memorize 9 items. You can memorize 3 items. Anyone can remember 3 things. We do that all the time. I'll prove it. Here, give me the answers to these. Ready? Our nation's symbolic colors are what? Very good. Here's an easy one. The persons of the Holy Trinity. Thank you for that enthusiasm. Gee. The colors of a traffic light starting at the bottom are? Very good. Here's another one. The gifts of the wise men. Excellent. All right, now, wake up. The branches of the federal government. Very good. Now, this one's for those of you 60 years of age or older. You ready? The Three Stooges. There you go. You can add Shemp and all. Okay, don't bother. This one's for those under the age of 21. The trio of friends from Harry Potter. Well, obviously, Harry. Hermione. Yeah, I had to look those up. I didn't know. And this one's for everyone. The sound made by a bowl of Rice Krispies. Oh, there's the enthusiasm I was waiting for. But you see, everyone can memorize 3 items, right? So look at today's memorization verse in your bulletin. It appears just above the sermon title. And if there's a pen or pencil handy in front of you in the pew rack or in the fellowship register, take a pen or pencil, and here's what I want you to do. Find the words love, joy, peace. Draw one line under those 3 words, love, joy, peace. Just draw one line under those 3 words. Now, draw another line under the 3 words, patience, kindness, goodness. Connect those 3 words with an underline. Patience, kindness, goodness. And finally, draw yet another line under faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So that first line underlines 3 things: love, joy, peace. Later this afternoon, I bet it would take you less than a minute to memorize those 3 things: love, joy, peace. And if you gave yourself 2 more minutes, you could memorize patience, kindness, goodness. And even add that to, what were the first 3? See how well you're doing already? Now, if you gave yourself another 2 minutes, I'm sure you could memorize faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And you add that trio to the first 2 sets of words, voila, you've memorized 3 things, plus 3 things, plus 3 things. You've memorized 9 things. Congratulations, 9 things. that St. Paul calls fruit of the Spirit. You know those questionable snacks that kids seem to love called fruit roll-ups? Well, think of this verse as a nine-fruit roll-up, okay? Now, what is so special about these nine qualities? This list and this verse occurs in the midst of what I will admit is a pretty complex theological proposition being laid out by the Apostle Paul. This chapter of Paul's letter involves the pitfalls of religious legalism versus the freedom of learning to trust God's Holy Spirit. Now, believe me, university professors and seminary professors have spent their entire careers trying to explore the richness, the complexity of these chapters of Paul's letter to the Galatians. So we're not going to solve it in the next 10 minutes. But let me try to offer a Cliff Notes version, a summary of what's going on. Paul is pointing out to the Galatians some errors that were proclaimed to them by some misguided missionaries who came to them once Paul had moved on to someplace else. And Paul tells the Galatians that now that they are putting their trust in God, they're becoming aware of a struggle going on in their lives. A struggle between things of the flesh and things of the Spirit. Now, when we modern readers in this sexually overstimulated society hear the term the flesh, we immediately assume that Paul is talking about sexual indiscretions. And in fact, he is, but that's only one small, small part of his concern. He gives much more emphasis to other offenses. And so the term the flesh is simply a way of describing all human thought and behavior that is in opposition to God's will. It's kind of, the flesh is shorthand, if you will. So what are some examples of the flesh, of behaviors and ways of thinking that are in opposition to God's ways? Well, conveniently, Paul offers a list. Lists of vices were common in the writings of the Greco-Roman world, as were lists of virtues. And so in the verses that come before today's memorization verse, the verses that we did not include in today's reading, Paul offers a list of examples of ways of the flesh that are self-centered, self-serving, disrespectful to others and to God. Here's what Paul wrote. A person's selfish desires are set against the Spirit, and the Spirit is set against one's selfish desires. They are opposed to each other, so you shouldn't do just whatever you want to do. The actions that are produced by selfish motives, in other words, the actions of the flesh, the actions that are produced by selfish motives are obvious, since they include sexual immorality. I told you he would mention sex, but listen to how much more comes after that. The actions that are produced by selfish motives are obvious since they include sexual immorality, moral corruption, doing whatever feels good, idolatry, drug use and casting spells, hate, fighting, obsession, losing your temper, competitive opposition, conflict, selfishness, group rivalry, jealousy, drunkenness, partying, and other things like that. I warn you, as I have already warned you, that those who do these kinds of things won't inherit God's kingdom. So Paul says those kinds of behaviors are what happens to when people think only of themselves, their own interests, their own pleasure. But then Paul reminds the Galatians that their faith in God through Jesus the Son has shown them a new way. Instead of their former way of the flesh, Paul urges the way of the Spirit. He writes, "I say, be guided by the Spirit, and you won't carry out your selfish desires." He writes, "I say, be guided by the Spirit, and you won't carry out your selfish desires." Now, hold that thought. As we heard earlier, according to Luke's gospel, Jesus once gave a clear example of what Paul would later write about. As we heard from Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, "A healthy tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a poor tree bear good fruit. Every tree is known by the fruit it bears. You do not pick figs from thorn bushes or gather grapes from bramble bushes. A good person brings good out of the treasure of good things in his heart. A bad person brings bad out of the treasure of bad things. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Jesus said, "Every tree is known by its fruit." That probably was already a proverbial saying, even way back in his day. So let's go back to the questions I posed at the outset. How do we know we're a church? How is a church different? How is a church distinct from anything else? When we invite God's Spirit to hold full sway in our hearts, the fruit of that commitment is as apparent as the apples growing on an apple tree. The sincere concern we show for one another, the gratitude we feel for the gift of life in the world we inhabit, our commitment to justice, even for the weakest and the most vulnerable. Those attitudes and behaviors are the result, the product, the fruit of God's Spirit at work within us because of the faith and trust we give God. As Jesus said, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." How do we know that we are Christ's church in the world? We know we are the church when we see the fruit of God's Holy Spirit abundantly evident in our relationships, in our life as a church, in our outreach to our communities and the world. As Paul wrote, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Find that again in your bulletin. Find it right now and let's say it together. Verse 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And with just a little bit of sarcasm, Paul concludes by saying, "There's no law against things like this." Amen.